Hey, it's your boy Ruben Torres, and we out here. I'm hanging out with Tim Hernandez out here, Milton Motion, doing it big out in North Park. We're at Wholesome Coffee and talking about doing some of these podcasts and bringing out some of the blasts from the past. So we found some stuff in the vault that never got released, and sending out my apologies to Mariachi Loco, but here's that episode, man. And I know it's several seasons into Lucha Underground, and we talked about doing season two in the episode, but here it is, man. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for your time. And this episode is brought to you by Milton Motion, so let's make this happen. We out of here. Make sure you guys check out the website, subscribe, review, and share. Out of here. Get connected.
Yo, if you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry. Connected.
Hey, today we're hanging out with Mariachi Loco from Lucha Underground. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, I'm doing just right. How are you doing today?
Good, man, good. Just wanted to thank you again for taking time to hang out and take a few minutes to you know, kind of share your journey with us, man.
Oh, not a problem at all. I love this. I love talking to people. As you can see, I'm very active, and you can't keep me quiet.
The local style, right?
Oh, well, yes.
There you go, man. Hey, so you've been having a pretty busy schedule lately. You guys just wrapping up with the season two of Lucha Underground.
Oh yeah, man! It's been fun. It's been a great season. First season was awesome. As you can see, season two is just starting, and it is just looking better and better.
Yeah. So tell me about how you got involved in wrestling. Period. We won't even get to Lucha Underground yet, but just your love for wrestling and Lucha Libre. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh man, I started watching Lucha Libre when I was young. My dad and I used to just watch Triple A in Galavision. The main luchadores that we used to watch, love watching, was Octagon and Perro Guayo. And my dad and I used to sit down and just keep watching, and through time we just expanded. I expanded watching pro wrestling, WWF, and then after that WCW, and of course then the mixtures of WCW with Lucha Libre, and again it was just something simple as that. It's just me and my dad watching programs every Saturday, Sunday night. Same thing with my grandma. My grandma used to go visit Guadalajara and used to come back with, like, lucha mask. Every time she went to go visit, she always got... and I remember the first one she gave me was an Octagon mask. It was amazing.
Nice. Now, that's... I've always said that, man. Being Mexican, and having Lucha Libre is just... it's part of the culture, and it's just as much part of the... like, the lucha mask is just as much part of the culture as a sarape or a taco or whatever.
Or a soccer ball, right?
Yeah. That's just how it is, man. Did you didn't grow up in Mexico, did you? You're from LA, correct?
No, actually, I migrated from Mexico when I was 5 years old, but I grew up in Orange County. I grew up in the city of Anaheim, which I still live in. But, you know, I've been known to, grace the city of LA a lot, so I consider myself an LA guy and an Orange County guy.
Nice. Yeah, is there a lot of wrestling promotions in LA?
Plenty. I mean, there's quite a few. I mean, I remember when I was growing up as a fan, there's a lot of wrestling happening, a lot of Lucha Libre in the LA area. Right now, not so much, but again, there's a handful of promotions right now that are out there that are very interesting.
Nice. And who was the first one that gave you a shot to jump in and do what you do?
Well, I started training with WPW, which is World Power Wrestling, with Martin Marin. But my main two trainers were, obviously, you kind of think you know him. His name is Little Cholo. aka Mr. Cisco. And Infernal is another amazing, underrated professional wrestler luchador that started training me back in the World Power Wrestling days. And it was simple, any other promotion, but they drew a lot of people. They brought a lot of stars, and it was ran in the Anaheim Indoor Marketplace. It's just a squat meet down the street where I used to live. And one day I decided, hey, let's give it a try. And one day I showed up. Little Cholo was standing in the ring. He took my money, and the rest is history.
Nice. Now, is this something you wanted to do, like, as a kid, or was it, you know, to me?
Yeah, you know what? When I was a kid, I used to be one of those kids that, you know, if I saw a mattress, just let's bring it back to the backyard. Let's take it to the garage and let's try to suplex each other. Let's try to do some moves with my younger brother.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my little brother didn't follow the footsteps, but I stuck around, and then just again, something that I always wanted to do. Even my friends now tell me, it's like, oh man, this is for you. This is something that we thought you were gonna do for a while, and it stuck through.
Yeah. How did you come up with the name Mariachi Loco, and tell me?
You gotta jump into that. That's a fun story. Not a lot of people know. A lot of people might know, and if they hear this, they're gonna know now. When I started wrestling, I started training in 2008. I had my first match maybe in late 2008. I started in March 2008 in training, and then I debuted in my first match in September of 2008. But I don't, all that time, I think it was just training, because I was just wrestling for World Power Wrestling, same guys over and over again, until 2013 with UIPW. But anyway, that's another story. I was wrestling and using other gimmicks. I was once Spider-Man, I was Mr. Taro, and I was a vampire. I was just hopping around with different masks, and I was presented with this character, which was El Mariachi Loco by Martin. This luchador was used before I had to use it. This gentleman used to wrestle as Mariachi Loco down in World Power Wrestling, like early 2000s, and basically he retired the gimmick, and I was handed this by Martin, and I was given the opportunity to use it. I wasn't very excited, because I had no idea what a crazy mariachi does, and eventually through time, watching videos, watching music, watching mariachis, and watching, you know, just random moves, and watching a lot of Pedro Fernandez. I don't know if you know, but I'm sure you do. Watching a lot of Pedro Fernandez dance moves kind of gave me the idea of what Mariachi Loco is. So it was handed to me. I carried on. I've been using Mariachi Loco since maybe 2009. Since then, I've been him, and I think I've developed this character more than anyone else has, and I pushed it, and I promote myself. So that's one thing about myself. I don't wait for people to promote me. I go out there and just promote as much as I can myself.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Now, is there ever any conflict with taking on someone else's character or the name or anything like that? I know, like, in the past, you know, with, like, La Parca and La Parquita, and, you know, there's always been, like, some kind of conflict somewhere with some of the names, and you know, like, there's this whole Rey Mysterio dynasty of all the different names. Have you ever come across anything like that?
I haven't had a problem yet. Again, I think I've respected the character enough where I haven't stepped on anyone's toes. Clemente, which is the old, you know, the former Mariachi Loco. I've never met the man. I wish I can. I want to meet him, but I haven't had any problem since. I mean, again, Martin gave me this as a way to use the character, and I stepped around with it. So no, I haven't had any problems as of yet.
Nice.
I don't think I am.
Well, hopefully it stays that way, man. You know, I know there's a lot of politics in wrestling and lucha libre in general, but
yeah, yeah. Well, again, like I always say, whatever happens, I'm keeping it local, so that's how it stays.
Nice. Is there any of the politics that you can talk about that sometimes goes on behind the scenes that people aren't aware of?
You know, there's a lot of politics. There's a lot of, you know, like any other place you go to, there's always money involved and there's always promises. And it's typical, you know what I mean? You have, promoters promising you this. You have promoters not paying you what you were told, or not getting paid, or whatever the case is. I don't want to go into detail because, you know, that's a whole other story. That's a long, long story, and that's
a whole other.
I'm sure everyone knows. Yeah, yeah. But you know, there's always politics. There's always people trying to bury other people. There's always people not giving the opportunities to the guys that are deserving these opportunities. I'm not saying I deserve every opportunity or every push I have in front of me, or opportunities that I might have in the future. But you know, guys that are working, guys that are pushing, and the guys that are promoting, and the guys that are out there working day by day, I mean, I think they deserve a good push and recognition by these promoters. But you know, it is what it is. It's a business, and I get it. Promoters have to do what they have to do. They have to cut people they have to cut. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, again, it's their money, and they could do whatever they want.
And for like someone that wants to get involved, what is it that goes into being a wrestler, a luchador? What does it take for someone to jump into that industry?
You have to really want this. You have to have heart. You have to, you know, really, really, really know that this is something that you want to do. You know, some people want to. I heard this the other day. It's part of a bucket list, but in reality, it's something that you really, really want to do. You hurt your body. You go through hell. You go through a lot of pain. You go through a lot of injuries, and it sucked because, you know, if for someone to go through all this and still keep going after surgery, after getting hurt, I mean, it's you really have to like this sport. And again, when I was a kid, I was always told, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a wrestler. I want to be a luchador. Are you crazy? That's local. You know, and that's the whole thing. I mean, yeah, of course I'm local. I'm keeping it local, and that's why I push this local style. And you don't have to be a wrestler, but you know, anywhere you go, anywhere you want to, anything you want to be, you gotta make sure you have passion, you have that heart to go for it, and you know, and don't let that dream die. You go for whatever you want to do. If you don't want to be a professional wrestler, or you don't have the heart to be a professional wrestler, then this is probably not for you.
Yeah, you gotta be local to chase the dream, right?
Yes, a little crazy. Think a little crazy.
Well, you know, I know, you know, it's crazy to even think about, but when you train as hard as you do, and your body goes through all the craziness that it goes through, man, and then you reach a certain level, like let's take someone like Daniel Bryan, for instance, that he reached this level of success, and then to have to just give it up all of a sudden because of injuries and because you've taken your body to that extreme. What's your thoughts on that?
Man, I've never met Bryan, but I've always admired his work. It was a great thing when he got to the main roster, and just for, you know, it sucks that this had to happen, but you know, it's good for him that he's not putting his body through all this hell again. Just, you know, I think it was like it was something to do with his brain, right?
I think so. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, they caught it in time. You know, I think it sucks. It sucks that he had to step out of the business. But at the same time, you know, I'm glad he's out of it, so he no longer has to hurt himself. But I think that they could have done a lot more with him. They could have given him a lot more than what they gave him. good run. I mean, he was the most popular wrestler during his time.
Yeah.
Every single time he was in the ring, you could tell this guy had it. He had what it took to become what he was.
Yeah, I agree.
And it sucks. But again, good for him. I mean, he stepped out just in time. You know, things could have been a lot worse. He could have caught it a little late and could have been, you know, paralyzed or dead. But, you know, I'm happy for him. And at the same time, it sucks because I'm sure he loved the sport more than he loved many things.
Yeah. And do you think his size had anything to do? Like, you know, that's got to change the game a little bit, because you got guys like some of the guys that you work with, like Brian Cage. Like, do you think that he changed the game for the little guys, kind of like what Rey Mysterio did when he, you know, kind of came in as well?
Of course. I mean, it showed that, you know, Rey Mysterio, again, one of the best luchadors out there. He had Lucha Libre style, so that made him stand out a lot more. He was a smaller guy, but he had that style. Bryan Danielson was a professional wrestler. He was a submission specialist, and he was a pro wrestler. And a lot of big guys have that in a way, but they don't. And at the same time, it's like, oh, here's this guy without a mask. There's a smaller guy without any Lucha Libre style, but he could go. He could move. He could go with any other professional wrestler. And he adjusted to the environment and who's in the ring. So yeah, of course he changed the game a little bit. Look at all these guys in NXT now. They're a lot, you know, a lot thinner, a lot smaller than a lot of these guys that are in the roster, the main roster. And obviously they know, you know, someone sees a lot of potential of these former indie guys.
Yeah. I think that's been, that's changing a lot with WWE too. I think, you know, just bringing in the guys to NXT has been a big deal for, you know, a lot of the indies that are trying to, you know, come up, you know, trying to get in you know, there's enough promotions now that are kind of, you know, open to, you know, a lot of the smaller guys. And you see guys like, you know, Eli Everfly, and he's like, he's dope. He's all over the place and he's doing it, man. And gotta, you know, give hats off, man. I respect that. And, you know, and you guys are doing it big too, man, with Lucha Underground. Tell me about some of the roster you got there now.
Oh, man. Lucha Underground has been, again, like I said, amazing. Opportunities opened up, and I love every moment of it. The locker room is amazing. The staff is amazing. You know, and then just the work rate there is great. And I'm learning as I go as well. You know, don't get me wrong. Never stop learning, or anyone stops learning in this business. You get to do stuff that you haven't done. You get out of your comfort zone and you challenge yourself. But it's been hell of a ride with El Rey Network and Lucha Underground.
Yeah, you know, I keep sitting back and I'm like, man, it's like, how could it get any better? Like, just for those that haven't really been keeping up, but like, you know, even bringing in someone like Rey is, you know, I think it's next level and it adds to what you guys are doing. But even just the first season was incredible. How has your life changed since Lucha Underground?
Oh, man, it's a blessing. It's changed a lot. I mean, personally, I haven't changed a lot. I'm still the same. I'm still the same guy. I'm still crazy dude that you see online and just going on little crazy rants, but whatever. It's made me open my eyes that, you know, that it's not all bad out there. You know, sometimes you do want to kind of just get out of this business and kind of be it. Sometimes it's just a pain in the ass, but there's a payoff at the end. You know, you just got to push yourself, challenge yourself. And, I love it. I mean, the way I go to work, Lucha Underground, it's just very amusing, and I want to go back. I want to go back to tape just to see what else I'm going to do or how I'm going to challenge myself. It's great. I mean, personally, again, I haven't changed a bit. I'm still that goofy character that you see every other Sunday at a local indie show, but it's great.
And, you know, it has to change the pay scale a little bit, though, right?
The what?
Your pay scale. It's got to change a little bit. Like when you go to do other shows, it kind of helps to have that on your resume that, hey, you know, I'm a wrestler on TV as well. So it kind of changes the game when you get paid. It should.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm not going out there and charging an extra $600-$700. Yeah. But no, you know, yeah, you have to protect yourself against something that, you know, they tell us. I mean, your value went up, you know, not a lot. I mean, it should be a lot, but you just gotta protect yourself. But yeah, no, it helps a lot. You don't come back from a weekend show with $30 in your pocket. You come back with a little more than gas money.
Yeah. Now, what other ways for a wrestler is there to get paid aside from doing shows? There's got to be like merch or any other kind of stuff. How other ways can someone get paid?
Basically that merch, get the recognition you have. I mean, last year I've had the opportunity to be in film. I've done motion capturing for video games. I've done extras for certain spots that they need some type of wrestler. So it's just, you know, you just gotta look out there and put your name out there and then be available. And there's merch, there's wrestling, there's a lot more. It opens many doors. Like I always say, I always tell everyone, don't burn bridges, guys.
Yep.
You never know when they're gonna need you again.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm big on that, man. I'm about building bridges, not burning bridges. But
that's right.
So is there any chance seeing you like get more involved in, like, you know, TV and film or anything else on the other side of it?
Of course, it's always fun, especially with Lucha Underground. I mean, it's very telenovela sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great because, you know, you get to, not only do you get to wrestle, but you get to be a part of the drama and it gets you going. And yeah, I'll be more than willing to work, you know, TV shows, film, even, you know, whatever comes available. If I don't have to take a big bump, that's even better.
Yeah, right. So what are you doing any traveling outside of the country or outside of the state at all?
Not as of yet. I mean, I do tend to travel a lot to Arizona. There's a company called Lucha Libre Por, Por Promotions, which I'll be this Sunday for the Valentine's Day show. It's going to be three of us versus three other goons over there. And again, I go back again the following week. But, you know, I've been talking to a couple promotions, so hopefully things happen and then I get to travel to other states other than Arizona.
Is there any other like television promotions that you would like to work for that you haven't yet?
I would lie if I didn't want to, that I said I wouldn't want to be the WWE, but, you know, my focus right now is Lucha Underground. You know, making sure that, you know, I'm there as long as I can and giving it, you know, as much as I can, and help the promotion grow. I mean, that was I think that was in episode 3 of season 1, so that says a lot. I'm still around, so hopefully, you know, and I'm sure we will. Hopefully, we continue to have more and more seasons.
What are some of the things that you've learned from being around, you know, that TV show and being around some of the, you know, some of the crew that's involved in that? You got people like Conan and even like Chavo, and you got some legends that have been involved. But even just on the backside of it, you know, the guys that work for Triple A and all that, what's some of the stuff that you've learned from all these guys?
You know, it's always working the camera and being, you know, wrestling in a TV show, not just independent, you know, make everything count, because, you know, we go out there and we perform. We want to make sure that, you know, everyone sees everything, and we want to make sure that that everything's precise. If we're going out there to have a wrestling show, we gotta, you know, make it crisp and make it look good. And again, just pointers that I get from different individuals. I mean, I think I've grown close, going to be really close friends with Chavo, Paul London, some other guys, the crew, actually the staff there. Just things that they point out, and then just listening, you know, like Cholito said once, you know, just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
That's probably the best thing you could do. You know, if someone sits there and talks to you, shut up, listen, and ask questions.
Yeah. And would you say that you've had any of these guys mentor you at all?
I know Chavo, you know, is one of the guys that comes up to me after a match and, you know, lets me know what, you know, if I did anything wrong or I need to fix anything. He's one of the guys, and the same thing with Paul, one of the other guys that actually sat with me a couple weeks ago and kind of told me, you know, this and that, you should do this. You got to, you know, to make this look better, you do this instead. It's just, again, just different pointers, and, you know, and I take everything they give me, and I try to apply it as much as I can. And it's always great. Always listening to even the guys, you know, that you're in a match with, or even the guys that have their matches with other people. You kind of sit down and watch their stuff, and you ask questions, and then you kind of study them, and then they're very helpful. They'll let you know exactly how a certain move is done, or even how to apply it, just so it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Is there any dream match that you would want to have, or that you've had, not just involved in Lucha Underground, but just period outside of that?
Yeah, that's a very tricky question. There's plenty. I mean, there's plenty. Of course, you know, always, you know, Rey Mysterio. I'll be a really, you know, amazing, in the past, even having them, you know, guys like Eddie Guerrero, and again, I've always been a fan of Perro Aguayo Sr. And that's another one, you know what I mean? It's just different guys that I would love to work with, you know, so, and every single one of them would, you know, give me a little, how would I say that? Every one of them would have something special. So, plenty of guys in there.
And what about like working with someone like Vampiro and Conan? Like these guys, they're veterans in what they do, and you know, they're no longer in the ring, but they're veterans. Is there anything that they do with the crew and the guys that they work with that, you know, like on the coaching side that you think is a plus, or maybe some of the guys don't need it? What's your thoughts on that?
Everything, they're very important to the show. You know, they're the main ones that are sitting there and watching the product more than anyone else. Especially Vampiro, he's sitting in, you know, ringside, and he's watching everything happening. He's listening to reactions, and he's, you know, he's letting you know what people expect. And I mean, he's been there for a long time. He's been in the business for quite some time. He was in WCW. He's wrestled in many places, and, you know, just having him there and give pointers out to every single one of the guys. And I think I've seen him talk to every single person in that locker room, one at a time, and one-on-one. Same thing with Conan, you know, it's always great to hear guys' feedback, especially with that kind of talent, and just always, you know, it's always great to see that kind of stuff. Someone stepping into the ringside and kind of giving you the pointers, and it's great. I mean, Chavo Guerrero, same thing. You know, he still works, but at the same time, he's about the same thing. It's just, you just get, you're very humbled, and you want to hear what they got to say, and it's, you know, they won't hold back. If they think, you know, you're not doing a good job, they'll say, they'll tell you. But it's great. It's great having them around.
What's the energy like there for those that haven't been in the temple? What's the energy like there in you know, when you guys start filming? Because it's on TV, it's different. I've been there live, but on TV, you don't get the full effect. How can you describe that to the fans?
the fans are part of the show. They make that temple just tremble. I mean, if you heard The Rock say it before, you know, it's electric in here. It's electric. It's the greatest feeling. Not only are they ready to go inside the temple, they're ready to go before they get in the temple. They're waiting in line, and they're having a blast outside in line. They're having a blast right before they walk into that temple. It's just amazing. You go in there, the show's not going on, and you already know this is going to be an amazing show.
Yeah, that's standing in line alone, all the characters that are there. You got people wearing masks, all kind of stuff going on, man. And I love it. And I've never been to a show where that can compare to it. So, you know, I love being there, man. And you guys are getting ready to go on season 3 too, right?
Season 3. Nice. Confirmed and ready to go. We're just waiting to get that call.
Nice. How do you, I mean, everybody kind of prepares different. How do you prepare for a match before going on? Do you have any rituals or anything you do?
Rituals?
Or anything?
I have really weird rituals. I tend to mumble a lot. I don't know. I just tend to mumble a lot and move around just to make sure that I'm focused and ready to go. I know there's a couple guys that, you know, kneel down and pray, and others guys that just sit there and just focus, game face on. But me, I'm just moving around, and I'm moving those hips.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know it's tough all the way around being not just in a wrestler, but just in the business. How does your family prepare for something like that? Because sometimes, you know, you got to take off, go on the road. Tell me about some of the challenges, like especially, you know, having a family or having to leave your family or having to leave work or anything like that. Because some of these guys, they got 9-to-5s as well. Tell me a bit about that, like the challenges on the outside of it.
It's hard, you know, especially when you're first starting in the business, you sacrifice a lot for almost nothing. Yeah. Wait, not nothing, not almost nothing. You go out there and you pay for training, and that's money out of your pocket, and then you travel to whatever shows to come back with nothing. You still got to pay rent. You still got to make sure that, you know, you're being fed or you're feeding your family, whatever the case is. It's a sacrifice. It's the biggest sacrifice that anyone can have. It's just, you know, especially going on the road. You leave on a Thursday and you come back on a Sunday night, and you come again. You come back with nothing, but you push to eventually get somewhere. You know, lucky for me, mine came a little early, and but the struggle was still there. I think that's why they call it lucha too, right?
Yeah, there you go.
But it's pain. It's painful physically, emotionally, and mentally, because it drains you out. You're trying to stay focused on something while you're focusing on your job, you're focusing on your family. So, you know, all around, it's not physical pain. It's just all around mental, physical, and emotional.
Yeah. Is there any crazy story that you could share with us that you've experienced on the road? Not, you know, nothing too crazy that's going to involve.
No, it's a lot of crazy stories that I can't probably share. It all involves Cholo.
Yeah, tell me about your relationship with Cholo.
Well, Cholo and I think we're great friends. I don't know about him. I don't think he feels the same about me. But again, since day one, Cholo's always been there for me, and what's one of the guys that I think myself as being my mentor and being there for me at all times. I consider him a friend. But in the same time, you know, you always have to have fun, whether you're on the road or not. I mean, every time we go out, I always tend to, you know, always have fun and try to keep the focus on just that and not take it too personal or just keeping it fun. And he's one of the guys that always been there for me. I think I've been there for him as well. But it's always good to have a friend in the business, and I consider him a good friend. You know, sometimes we're not in the same show. Sometimes we don't see each other for a while. But you know, it's always fun to see him, and it's always fun to bug him too.
Yeah, and he's been in the game for what, like 17, 18 years, right?
About so, yeah. I think he's 17.
Yeah, wow.
Started young when he was at when he was actually a little cholo.
Yeah, a littler cholo.
Yeah.
So, how have you seen in the years that you've been involved? How have you seen the industry change, and how do you see it changing?
Well, in the independent scene, I mean, it's always again. I didn't venture out until 2013. That's when I actually stepped out of World Power Wrestling and decided, hey, let me try everything else. And again, UIPW, based in LA, gave me the opportunity. And at that time, there was a lot of promotion. And it slowly dies, and then slowly comes up. But there's a lot of wrestlers out there, and there's companies that allow them to work. And it's there. I mean, I wasn't around where the big boom was happening. I remember LA was the biggest luchador or lucha libre scene, where they have the a lot of the legends come in. I know Rocky had a lot of legends come in for his promotion.
Yeah.
But I feel that it's coming up again, and I feel that a lot of the independent companies are trying to either make comebacks or even start up new companies, but not a lot of lucha libre companies as of yet.
And so how did you get involved with Lucha Underground? What was your break in that?
Funny. I was called randomly just to kind of do not necessarily a tryout, but just kind of test the ring for the actual show. It was maybe a week before the show started, season one. They needed a couple guys to run the ropes, work the cameras, take some bumps, and I was called, but I was busy doing something else. I was doing some photo shoots for some company. I forgot what it was, but I wasn't going to make it. I got a phone call like around noon, and I had to be there by 3 o'clock. I wasn't going to be done till I think 2 o'clock or so. And I was in Pomona. This was all the way to Boyle Heights. So like, oh man, I don't think I can make it. I got a second call. So like, hey, you got to come in, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I'm on my way. So it was 2 o'clock rush hour and somewhat rush hour. I was beating down the freeway, and then I made it to what it's now known, the temple. Signed waivers, signed papers, and then I started just wrestling and just doing whatever. It didn't take long. I mean, it was 3 hours, 2 hours to do whatever they had to do. Didn't think of anything. Went in there, did what I had to do, went home, and then a couple days later, I get a phone call from one of the producers. They didn't expect it. They introduced themselves as a producer from Lucha Underground, and they wanted to see if I was interested in a contract. Of course, I was overwhelmed. I had no idea what to do, and they're like, "Well, here you go. I'm going to email you the contract. Look at it, and just come by the next Saturday and sign it before you get in the ring."
Wow, nice.
So it was something, you know. I was there in the right time, in the right moment, and that was that. You know, again, it was something that they reviewed. They saw the tape. This is coming from Chris DeJoseph too. Is like he wasn't really interested. People were telling him, "Well, look at this guy, whatever," and I never heard of Mario Chilico. No. He went over the tapes again. He saw, gave him the green light, and they gave him a call.
Yeah, you know, and watching it too, like everything looks carefully executed too. So everything from just the way that the show is casted in the TV show sense, you know, because, you know, you got, you know, everyone from Cueto, you got like everything that has been brought in seems almost kind of like perfectly made for the show, you know, so it's just next level, man. So, you know, congrats on that. They did a good pick, man. I'm glad you're part of that roster.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, what, what would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give somebody that wants to get involved in wrestling?
Biggest piece of advice, and I'm going to go with what Cholito told me. Shut up and listen. This business will eat you up alive if you don't pay attention, if you don't listen to what's going around you, and always make sure that, you know, when you're going out there, you protect yourself. There's going to be guys out there that are going to be looking out for you. There's going to be guys out there that are going to be trying to tear you apart. Don't let yourself get involved in that kind of stuff. Always stay positive. Never think that nothing's going to happen, because like me, I was called up once. I was asked to do something simple and just going and running the even if you're performing in front of 2 people, 3 people, 4 people, 1,000 people, 100,000 people, you give them performance the same way you're going to give every single one of them. One audience member doesn't mean that you have to give them crap. You make sure that you give them a performance for the same amount of people in the stadium. So, again, stay focused, stay humble, make sure that you're always protecting yourself.
Yeah, man, that's always it's always good to, you know, the humility part, man. I've worked with a couple different celebs that were that humility part is kind of, you know, it becomes like a sense of entitlement after a while. But, you know, I appreciate hanging out with you guys, and you guys are just always showing love, man. And you know, it's one of those things. I even like hanging out with Ray. I always see the humility in him, and that dude's a worldwide icon. You know, have you had much interaction with him in the season?
Small amount of chit chat, but I mean, we've sat down a couple times, talk here and there, but again, we're always busy, trying to put on a great show. But whenever I do speak to him, it's always I feel like we're friends. You know what I mean? He's never looked down on anyone. He's always there, and he's always trying to, you know, he's a good guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
With a little time I've spoken to him, you could already tell, man, this guy is a class act.
Yeah. And what's in the future for Mariachi Loco? What can you tell us?
Well, you guys have to wait and see.
Cool. So any chance of you hitting up any Triple A stuff or anything down in Mexico?
Not yet. And not as of yet, but I mean, there's always talks of different things happening with me. I've got partners. I got people that I'm talking to, shirts, ideas. I have a lot of ideas. I just don't tend to have the time or the money sometimes to push it. But I have influences now, and I have a couple friends, and I have acquaintances, and I have people that I've been talking to, so we could make things happen and hopefully, you know, not just mariachi stuff, but also, you know, local style stuff. And we got to make sure that we're always busy, but stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, on the entrepreneur side of things, I notice you do a huge push with the local style stuff, with the shirts and the branding. Tell me about that. How do you go about branding yourself with the local style?
Again, it's something that just came out, you know, by accident. It was just me being me and just trying to do what I could do. Horseshoes, just being locked, my maracas, being music, and just going out there and just pushing it. And again, that's one thing. Local style is not just wrestling. It's just, it's a way of thinking. You know what I mean? And like I said before, I was told I was crazy for trying to be a professional wrestler or a luchador. But again, sometimes you got to think a little crazy to be able to go through a certain stuff. So, you know, it doesn't matter what you want to be or what you want to do. Think a little local, be a little local and do it. So it's just pushing and being positive against people, and again, you're always keeping it local. Just remember,
nice.
Don't be someone else. Just keep it local. Just keep it local.
So, are you turning that into a clothing brand, into a clothing line, or is it just a design that you that you're putting on stuff, or you know, what's the growth on that?
I want to make sure, I want to see it grow again. Right now, just going on shirts and just trying to do it again. There's a, it really, it has no connection to professional wrestling. It's just shirt, and hopefully it connects, not you know, to everyone, and it helps everyone. And I just, and it's really cool, you know, a little extra money wouldn't help hurt, but it's something out there that I'm pushing, and I really want to push it forward, and hopefully it goes further than just wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully, man. And is there any other stuff, like, I know early on you had, you know, you talked about doing the WPW and what was the other one, UIPW?
UIPW.
Yeah. Is there any other, I know you're coming down to San Diego a lot, is there any other organizations that you're working with that you want to plug up?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I mentioned, Arizona, Lucha Libre Port Promotions. I'll be over there this Sunday. I'll be there next Sunday. On the 27th, I'll be going down to UIPW again. And March 3rd, I think that date's been pushed around so many times, I'm sure I got the date right. It's March 3rd, I go with Oddity Wrestling Alliance, OWA, down in San Diego. So people down there will be able to catch me in action. Nice. I'll be partnering up with a luchadora called Datura. I'm sure you guys know who she is.
Yeah, yeah.
Against Ruby Reyes and Tyler Bateman. So yeah, hopefully you guys can catch me there. Got minimal bookings in March. So if you guys are interested, anyone listening to want to book my Hachi Loco, go ahead, give me a call. Go on my Facebook, on my Instagram. You'll see all my stuff in there.
How do we find you online?
Instagram, you go at @elmariachi_loco, or did I get it right? I forget sometimes. Or at Facebook, Mariachi Loco. Also in Twitter, I got ML Loco. Find me there, and I'm very good at answering questions. I'm very, very good at answering messages. So, you know, don't be afraid to send me some, you know, with whatever message you have. I'll try to answer them, and I'll try to be a nice guy, which I think I am.
Do you have a website as well where people can like buy the shirts and find out more about what you're
doing? No website right now, but actually you could go check out the Wrestling Guy Store website. They actually have my stuff there, so if you ever want to check it out, you could also go to his website and you could see all the shirts available. Also, Big Cartel also has some of the stuff in there, just the local style t-shirts. I know I made a couple of kids' masks coming out. I only have a limited of those, but I think I'm going to have them available coming this Sunday in Arizona. But you can find all that stuff there. You know, also go there and check out the Wrestling Guy Store. This guy's amazing. He's always been a great guy to me. It's Dave. Check him out. Order some stuff from there and help us out a lot.
Nice. I need to get me a mask. I need to jump on that one. So you
have to. You have to.
Yeah, you got to make sure to save me one of those. Well, cool, man. I appreciate you taking your time out from your schedule, man. I know you're a busy man. So hopefully, you know, we can catch up, maybe do a, you know, another part when you slow down a little bit. And, man, I got to make it out to another Lucha Underground match. I know I think you guys are done for the season, though, right?
We are done for the season. We wrapped up a couple weeks ago.
Nice. Well, I got to make it out to season 3 when you guys start up on that one. So keep me posted. But, you know, appreciate you taking the time to come and hang, man. I love listening and hearing about, you know, Lucha Libre and just the stories and what it takes to become a luchador and what you guys do, man. Much respect, much love for what you guys do, man. You guys are doing it. Anything else you want to plug up before we got to go?
No. That's about it. Again, just go through. If you want to know anything about my Mariachi Loco, visit my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And again, I'll be there all the time. And also, thank you. Thank you for having me in your little podcast. I appreciate it. Again, I love talking. Sometimes I talk too much. Sometimes I forget what we're talking about. But, hey, I'm talking. I never stay quiet. And hopefully next time, Lil Cholo will be sitting next to me. Maybe we could chat with him as well. Damn. Or you can even check. No, I don't think he's going to that show. See, we don't have a show together for a long, long time.
Yeah, man. Well, hopefully I can, maybe we can get a you know, a conference call and we can get all three of you guys, you know, or all three of us together on, and and we can do a little something, man. I'd love to kind of see the reactions back and forth and some of the questions here, man. It'd be great. So
awesome.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. There you have it. You guys got connected with Mariachi Loco, Lucha Underground. Looking forward to seeing everything and anything that he's got coming up, man. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thanks again, Mariachi Loco, for hanging, and we will talk soon.
No. That's right. And remember, once you go loco, you'll always love me un poco.
There you have it. Right on, man. Appreciate you. We'll be talking soon. There you have it. All up in your ear hole. Connected with Ruben Torres of Mariachi Loco. There you go. Connected.